So a few things before we get started. One is I'll be heading to Sleepy Hollow United Methodist Church tomorrow night for Zach Hardy's Eagle Scout award and presentation. If you can remember, he did the book nook for us in our memorial garden. So that's a plus. A group of us went to see Luke Patarsi at a play at Marshall High School. I went a Friday night, and it was great. Did a great job. For that, we give thanks. So I had one of those circumstances. I can write it in my little Doolin book of what happened along the way. So I kind of had a fast food attack the other day. So I went to one of our fast food restaurants in the area, and there was a young man. He was probably 17, 18 years old, waiting on me. And I kind of looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, sir, we have an elderly discount. If you would like that. And he said, you look like you're elderly, and I think that this discount will work for you. And, you know, I wanted to go and visit his manager real quick, but I just said, sure, I will take the elderly discount. So as I go along in life, this is the first time I've been called elderly. I guess when you're 18 years old and you see somebody my age, you think they're elderly. But I won't tell you the name of the restaurant, but anyway, I thought, oh, my God. So that's all I could say. That's all I could think. So today we're looking at Paul. And Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. Thessalonica was probably the second largest city in Greece at the time. It had a Christian church, was fledgling. It was trying to do its best. But there were lots of problems with that church because there was lots of persecution of the Christians. Lots of persecution by the Romans of the Christians there. They were afraid to go out into the streets to worship. They were afraid to go to their places of worship. They knew they were being watched, they were being spied on. So there was lots of persecution that was taking place. And then the other thing that was this church was dealing with was a word called parousia. Say that with me, parousia. The parousia is like last Sunday when Dave Lowe was leading the church service for communion. He says, Christ is risen, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So they thought, you know, Christ is going to be coming real soon, and why am I going through all this persecution? You know, come on, Christ, hurry up and come so I can go up to heaven with you and life is going to be great. There were people that had to quit work. They thought, you know, Christ is coming soon. Why do I have to work? There were people that weren't doing things they were supposed to do because they said, well, so what if I get caught, I go in jail? You know, Christ is going to take me up to heaven. That's going to be it. So this is what's going on in the church at Thessalonica. And then in his scripture of his letter that he writes to them, he says, hold fast. Stay firm. Listen and remember the teachings that I have told you. Because he knew they were going through persecution, they were going through all kinds of stuff in their lives. And he was saying to them, hold fast, stand firm. And so I was thinking about, you know, how we live through that. Think about end of the world. I remember as a kid, we had fallout shelters. And we would have to kind of shelter in place in school because of our fear of nuclear war. I remember talking to my parents about what it was like during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And they were fearful for their lives. I was two. They had a family of a two-year-old, a five-year-old, and a seven-year-old. And they were fearful. I think about we hear about, you know, North Korea with missiles. People are fearful of that kind of stuff that goes on. I think about now we hear about climate change. And they talk about the East Coast, you know, the cities are going to be swallowed up and, you know, there's going to be water everywhere into the world. But Paul is telling us that in all of our situations, and stand firm. I was thinking, this past week, I had a meeting with the district superintendent. I have a new one. It's like my sixth superintendent. And so I wanted to share with you about how Pastor Dave is standing firm and hold fast. So, you know, I was given this list, part of our little time together. And I thought it was kind of nice to share with you a little bit about what had on her mind. What spiritual disciplines are you working on right now? So I talked about, you know, I hold fast and I stand firm through confession. And if you'll notice the past year or so, every week we've been having a prayer of confession in our bulletins as part of worship. I think that, you know, we have to realize when we've wronged someone and we have to say, I'm sorry, but then we can move on. And then leave it with God and the other person, how they're going to accept that confession. She asked, what can she be praying for me? And I said, discernment for our denomination. What's next? She asked, how is it with your soul? So John Wesley, he started small groups. And he would get his groups together and he would always ask each person, how is it with your soul? He would ask each person, how is it with your soul? Not your circumstance in life, but your heart, your soul, what's going on? And so my word was disheartened. I said, you know, I've been a part of the United Methodist Church since birth. And what happened to love God and love neighbor? What are your dreams for your church or ministry this year? And so I had Shift Plus. This is something that Alan Chin and Nancy Royce and I have been going to for ever of the month. And then we are coached about how to implement these things. And so we're working on some hospitality. We kind of rolled them out for you during Laity Sunday a few weeks ago about how we can reach out into the community and serve others and let them know the love of Jesus Christ and how we can help to know one another better here of where we are. I had about connecting with Galloway United Methodist Church. Let me tell you about Galloway. We have a special relationship with Galloway that has kind of been hidden. Mr. Doolin, who our church is named after, was a slaveholder. And his farm was out near Fairview Park, where there's a Marriott back in there, and that was where the farm was, and where Camp Alger was. There's a library on Route 50 to the left there. All that huge piece of land was, he had a huge farm. And so he left during the Civil War. He left. He went to Baltimore. He was smart. And so then after the war, we didn't have anywhere to worship, so he gave us this piece of land. He had a group of slaves after the Civil War that went to Mr. Doolin, and they said, Mr. Doolin, we'd like to form a church, and will you help us? And he said, anything on my farm that you can use to start your church, you take it. And so they cut down the timber of the trees, and they built the first frame church of Galloway United Methodist Church. Families there were his slaves. And I thought, you know, that's a unique connection that not many churches have. And I thought, you know, as part of confession for us and repentance, it'd be nice for us to interact with this church that's right around the corner from us, just a few blocks. And so every time we do our Easter sunrise service in the Memorial Garden here, there's always a contingent from Galloway that comes to worship with us. And so I thought, wouldn't it be neat if we reach out to Galloway and we say, you know, Galloway folks, we don't want to take Sunday time from one another, but what if the two congregations had Easter sunrise together? They have a cemetery there. We have a memorial garden. I don't care where we have it. We can have it one place one year, one where the next. But do I have your affirmation to reach out to them and see if we can do that? I think that would be a great thing for us to do. So that's part of my holding fast and stand firm to reach out this congregation. The superintendent also mentioned to me that she looks at church's DNA. And she said, our DNA is strong at Doolin Church. We have several churches around us, Methodist churches, that are closing, that are merging. They have lost their critical mass. And so thank goodness that we are not in that place. And so we want to do all that we can do as a church so that we don't get to that point where we have to do that. So that was just something that was on my heart. And then also what has been coming down the pike is we'll have this for you at the end of the worship service, and Usher will give it for you. But this is in 6 months, we'll have the general conference, which we will kind of continue where we are, or we may be looking at one of these four plans. So I hope that after the service, you'll take one of these and take a look at it. There is a website, you can go ahead of it, above it, that goes into great detail about each one. But it talks about what's going to happen to Pastor Dave. It talks about what's going to happen to Doolin Church, or possibilities. So I hope that we can take a look at that and see what's going on. The last thing that I wanted to do is to share with you the little bulletin piece. If you'll take this prayer out. This is a wonderful prayer. And before we do the prayer, I want to share with you a story. And it's about what Alex sang, It Is Well With My Soul. And it talks about comfort and peace. And what's going on with that particular song is there was a guy, a gentleman, that was doing an Atlantic crossing. And he sent his family ahead of him. And the boat sunk, and he lost members of his family. And so he had to make that same trip. And so when he got to that point where he asked the captain, he says, can you stop the boat, the ship, where that place is where I lost my family? And I would like to just have some time. And so from that experience, he wrote the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He found comfort and he found peace through our God and Jesus Christ. So this little prayer, it's at the end of the Thessalonians that was read for us today. We're going to read it a couple times, and then I hope that you'll place this in a visible part of your life. A lot of times I say put it in your wallet or purse, but this time, put it. I'm going to put mine in the mirror. That's the first thing I do when I get up, say, oh my God, how do I look today? And so I'm going to put this in my mirror. You can put it anywhere you would like, but this really is a prayer of hope and of comfort for all of us. It's a beautiful prayer. So let's read it together twice, and then think about a place where you can leave this to put in your life. So let's read this together. Here we go. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Let's try it again. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and deed. So Paul wrote this to the church at Thessalonica centuries ago, and it still holds true for us today as we seek comfort and hope in each of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen. Amen.